On behalf of the Lapp family, we welcome you and thank you for your presence. It's at times like this that church, family, and friends are especially dear. So God bless you for being here, for coming for this funeral service for Brother Sam Lapp. Greet you with the words of the Apostle Paul, which we often use, where he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And he goes on and he speaks of the redemption that we have. In verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." It speaks of the time when Jesus came and made that sacrifice for us. And then he goes on and he says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Peter puts it this way when he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And further on he says, "For as much as we know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And so we're together here this afternoon for the funeral service of Brother Sam Lapp, who placed his faith and trust in this Lamb of God and expressed salvation through that precious blood of Christ. Shall we stand for prayer? Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you again for your goodness, for your grace, and for your blessing. And we especially this afternoon thank you for your work of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who you sent into this world to here live and then die for us and shed his precious blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we thank you again that you so love the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we're thankful that Brother Sam left that testimony. And I pray that each one of us here, gathered here together, might know you through that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. So ask your blessing upon each one here. Thank you for their presence. Pray your blessing upon the family, Leon and Sarah and the rest of the family, your blessing and grace and peace upon them. And then, Father, I pray for the preaching of your word. You'd bless Brother Dave, you'd bless Brother Jake, as they minister to us the words of life from your holy word to us. So we pray your blessing, your presence, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 35, there's an interesting statement made about the patriarch Isaac, where it just says, "And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him." And so we're together this afternoon to do that final act of love for Brother Sam. In preparation for that, Brother Jake Lapp an old friend of Sam's. We'll have the opening, and then Brother Dave Stoltzfus, bishop for the church here, will bring the main message for today. God bless each one as we share together. Excuse me, there will be some singing, first of all. And God bless you to take your place.
Save on his gentle. precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, it oftentimes to us it doesn't seem that it's a very precious thing. To the child of God, we know that there is life beyond this life, and certainly it is precious to know where our brother is residing at this point in time. So we greet each one this afternoon in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's him that we appreciate in times like this. If we wouldn't have hope of life beyond this life, the Bible tells us we would be of all men most miserable. And we certainly can testify to that this afternoon. We certainly want to share our sympathy with the family here. Friends, we're glad for each one that came out here. We welcome each one to you, of you to the service here. A time when, as a brother mentioned, we can do one more thing for our brother today before we lay him back to the dust. As the Bible says, that's where we came from and that's where we're going. So this afternoon, as we share this time together, as we think of words that could help us to establish our hearts together with the things which are eternal. It's a blessing for me to have known Brother Sam, known him for quite a number of years. Often love to sit down with him and share and visit. It seemed like the last year or so, when we stopped in to visit, I wasn't sure whether visiting with him or with his wife mostly, but he just didn't have much to say the last couple years, and especially the last couple months. So that's all right. We understand that well. We have bodies that will not continue to be as they were. We all acknowledge that our bodies get older. But today we want to recognize that it's not age that determines a step like Brother Sam took. We like to think of the fact that we all have an appointment to meet. We all have an appointment that someday we will meet the Lord. And so we'd like to just read a portion of Scripture and make some parallels or comments from it just this short moment. I'm going to take most of my thoughts from the reading there in Luke chapter 16. And we'd like to think of the fact that it came to pass. You know, it came to pass that Brother Sam passed away Friday night? And it will come to pass in each one of our hearts. I'm going to read this portion of Scripture, and I'm just going to make some brief comments. It says here in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus is in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and likewise Lazarus receivest evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us there and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham says unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There's a few things we'd like to see as clear direction. I think of this passage many times as one of the most clear scriptures of life after death that we can pick out of the Bible. It tells us there was a certain man. We see this was a certain happening that Jesus was talking about here. And it's very clear. There's a few things that come out very clear in this passage. The first thing we notice is it came to pass. Someday in each one of our life, it will come to pass. It will draw our last breath, just like Brother Sam did the other night. It's so final. Even though the family was well aware that he's not going to be here much longer, the fact is that he's no longer here. They no longer can interact with him at all. And I want to bless the family especially for their care for him in his last year and last month. Certainly it's a blessing when we can care for our older people in that way. And I feel you have done real well in providing the care that was needed for his comfort. It came to pass. That's a part of life. Can't be changed. We're all going to be that way. The other thing that's very clear in this scripture is that there are only two places beyond this life where we will spend an endless eternity. It gives that very clear in this passage. Abraham, or Lazarus, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and he's safe there in his bosom today yet. The rich man was buried, it says, and he realized his eternity in an endless torment in hell. And so there's only two places. We can't change. There's no middle ground. We either will spend eternity in one of those two places. That's a settled fact that we can be clear from the Bible. The other one that's very clear in this passage is found in verse 26. It says, besides this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. There's no way one can come from one to the other. Once we're in one of those two places, it's going to be there for the rest of eternity. A fixed place that has a time of bliss and rest, and we see our Savior face to face, a time of separation where there will be no more comfort of any kind anymore. There's no way we can change that destiny. And the last one we'd like to think is it depends on our response today, which one of those two places we will be. Notice that he thought, rich man thought, that if someone from the dead would rise and go to his brethren and tell them about this awful place, they would repent and turn to the Lord, and they wouldn't have to come here. Somehow, this rich man, I don't know his life, he lived in apparent luxury, probably never gave much thought to his brothers and their things after death. But now he was concerned. And this morning, this afternoon, we need to realize again. It says here in the last verse of the passage we read, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. There's hope today. Each one of us has a personal choice whom we serve. Jesus died that we can live. As we surrender our life to him, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, Romans tells us, also works in our physical bodies. It quickens our spirit so we can serve the Lord faithfully. May we do so. In closing, I'm going to read a few verses from 1 John chapter 3. Just comforting words, and we just are grateful for the faithfulness of our brother through the years, as was mentioned earlier. And we have the consolation this afternoon that he is at rest in the Lord because of whom he served and of his faithfulness in facing life with the realization that God's word is important and it's to be obeyed and followed. And so may we with that just read this scripture in John 1 chapter 3 verse 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. May the Lord bless us, Father, in our service.
Well, bless the Lord for that hope that we can have in Christ. I thought of the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, if Christ be not raised from the dead, that is, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in fact Christ was not raised from the dead. He goes on, the apostle Paul goes on to say, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And tonight, or this afternoon, I'm so grateful for that hope that we can experience because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Your father and grandfather had that hope in his heart, and we rest in that. It gives us, it takes the sting of death away, because we know we have a good hope of where he is right now. We were in Kurdistan a number of years ago and had the opportunity to visit the prophet Nahum's tomb. At least they think this is where he was buried, somewhere close to there at least. It's about 2,700 years ago when the prophet Nahum, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave us these words. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. This afternoon, if you know the Lord, he knows you. What a tremendous blessing to know that God knows you. If you got that hope that only the Lord Jesus Christ can put in your heart because of what he's done for us and because of our acknowledgement of our need and our sin, this can be your experience. You can know him. He knows those who trust in him. I had to think of the verses, the testimony of our brother Job in chapter 30 and verse 23. Job was a man who suffered tremendous loss, lots of difficult things he went through. He said, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." Now, maybe that sounds a little gloomy, but not really. There's a few things here that Job knew about his death. There is a place, a time appointed for every living thing to die. There's the time appointed. Brother Jake mentioned that as well in his opening here. It's a natural law of organized bodies to wear out, decay, and dissolve. Now, if you're young and 20 and full of energy and all the vigor of that time of your life, it's a little hard to imagine that. But when you get to be 50 and 60 and 70, you start realizing, you know, we do wear out. We aren't the same as we used to be. We don't have the strength and the energy and the vigor that we used to have. It's a natural law. And there's nothing uncommon in our death. The house appointed for all living. We all have an appointment with death. You know, if you and I would be the only ones designated to die, maybe we'd have reason to complain or grumble. But you know, death is something that comes to everyone who lives. Even Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, died again. I don't think he's living anymore. So he died again. It's a house appointed for all living. So there's going to be nothing special about me. I've got my appointment as well. And there's nothing accidental. There will be nothing accidental about you. Sometimes we call someone's death an accident or premature or something like that. But these things are not accidents. I know, Job knew that the Lord will bring me to death. I have a feeling he may have thought it's going to be soon with all the things he was going through. I won't die because of chance accident that's beyond my control. I will die when my father brings me to the grave, when my time comes. These are things that are understood. Thou turnest man to dust. Thou changest his countenance and sends him away. There aren't accidental deaths. No premature graves. The eternal, our eternal loving Father brings us to death. And so it's important that knowing all this, we've got an appointment with death. In a few minutes here, you're going to follow your father, your grandfather's body out the door here and on out to the graveyard, and you're going to pay your last respects to him. One day, your family will follow you out here. It's an appointed thing. God knows, we don't. Sometimes they are unexpected. Other times they're a bit more expected, as Brother Sam's death was. But it's important that we trust in the Lord, as the proverb writer says, with all our heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct thy paths. Again, the commitment that our brother Job had, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No matter what the Lord takes you through, you are committed, he was committed, to trusting in God. I will maintain mine own ways before him. And that commitment, that faith in God, put a hope in his heart. He says a few chapters later in Job 19, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job was convinced of that. He knew it was going to happen. And I trust in our hearts we're convinced that's going to happen as well. Jesus Christ is residing in your heart. You know that your Redeemer lives. That faith in God is imperative for us. It must be. We must believe, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Brother Sam had that hope in his heart. And we don't know what heaven's like, and we don't know who all's there, and God works in interesting ways and ways that we don't understand sometimes. But I imagine, my dad passed away about 10 years ago now, and it was a difficult time. There's something about losing your dad that's a little difficult. In fact, it's a lot difficult. And those first months, and I think it was even years, I would catch myself thinking, I need to ask Dad about that. And suddenly realize, Dad's not here anymore, not here to ask. In my father's situation, we did a fair amount of our grieving before his death. He had cancer, and it was a difficult time. I have a feeling some of that happened here as well. But in a few months then, we grieved anew, and the reality of the passing, he was gone, actually sunk in. So may God give you grace, and he will, enough grace for this time of parting, time of change. It's just going to be different, and we understand that, and we don't wish him back, and yet at the same time, that doesn't take some of the pain away. I was thinking about the tremendous blessing it is that Sam had that hope in his heart. I had to think of a story back in St. John chapter 3. And I am confident that if Sam were here today, that he probably wouldn't want us to preach about him and his life so much. But Sam had a heart for the Lord. He had a heart to tell other people about the Lord. I appreciate his testimony in that. I mentioned to the family a little earlier that one of the memories I have of him was his passion for the information center that we had in intercourse for some time. He loved that place, and he was often there, and he often brought folks who visited the information center to church on a Sunday morning who were here by his invitation. It was a blessing. I also mentioned to the family that I found it interesting and found that it was good. I mean, Sam had some fairly pronounced opinions on prophecy. He knew, or at least he had a good idea how things were going to turn out. And But he was very gracious in a church where there was a fair amount of leanings that were not quite according to his persuasion. I appreciate his graciousness in all that, although it made for some interesting moments at times. He had that hope in his heart. And in John chapter 3, Jesus was visited by a man named Nicodemus in the middle of the night. Nicodemus was a man who was well known in the Jewish circles. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And he came to Jesus at night because he was afraid to ask the questions he had for Jesus in the presence of his peers. I'm reading a little bit between the lines possibly, but I think this is what happened. He had some questions that he wanted to ask Jesus privately. And he just said to Jesus, "Rabbi," or "teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him." And Jesus answered him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus came back with a very basic question, very elementary question. How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus came back with this answer. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto you, thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him, in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, but his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Beautiful portion of Scripture. And this is what happened to Brother Sam. This is why he had his hope, that hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, that hope of the future, that hope of eternity in his heart. That's why it was possible. And that's why it's possible for you and me as well. We have that hope because of what Jesus did for us. We must believe in him. He gives the Old Testament example of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. They understood this scripture. They knew that story. And so it resonated with them as Jesus gave this type of what happened way back in the Old Testament in the wilderness there, as the children of Israel were following Moses from the promised land, from Canaan to the promised land. There came a time when the children of Israel were tired of being in the wilderness, tired of their life as it was. They began grumbling. the Lord, I guess, got tired of it and sent serpents, poisonous snakes, out into the camp. And they were biting people left and right. People were dying. People had died. And others who had escaped so far came to Moses and said, "There's a big problem out there. Do something, Moses. What can we do?" And Moses besought the face of the Lord, wondered what they should do. And the Lord gave Moses the instruction. He said, "You get a snake made out of brass, and you hang it in a pole, in the midst of the camp, on a pole. And then you go out through the camp, and you tell the folks who've been bitten by that snake, by snakes, to look at this snake, and they'll be healed, they'll be saved." It's a tremendous parallel of what happens to us. We have all been bitten by the snake bite of sin. And so we're under the penalty of sin. We have the penalty, a death is coming, is our sentence, because it's what's going to happen to us. We've died. We are dead. We're going to die. We're going to continue to die. We're corrupt. We've been bitten by sin. It's our nature. We've been born with that sinful nature. And we need help. We're dying. And just like that snake, as it was raised on the pole, and the word was spread around, that you look at that snake and you can be healed from snake bite, the poison of those snakes that were biting you. People looked and were saved. And I suppose there were others who looked or who refused to look and said, this is ridiculous. Look at a snake to be saved. Well, Jesus told Nicodemus here, just like what happened out in the wilderness. And he was foretelling his own death here. He said, "I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be lifted up and I'm going to die." And all those who've been bitten by a snake have the opportunity, have been bitten by sin, have the opportunity to look. And as you look, it shows that you believe. And as you believe in Jesus Christ, for his redemption, for his believe in the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus will cover and wash you free, wash you clean of your sins. You believe in Jesus Christ for that. He is the sacrifice for our sin. You can be saved as well. And that's exactly what happened to Brother Sam. One time back in his history, he gave his heart to the Lord. He believed on Jesus Christ. His sins were washed away. The Holy Spirit filled him with himself, gave him power to live. He wasn't a perfect man. We all know that. Neither are we. And yet the Holy Spirit gives us power to do what's right. That's what happened to Brother Sam. And that's why he has hope. That's why he had the hope of Jesus in his heart. And that's why we have hope for him today. We get so wrapped up in our daily living and the blessings that we're enjoying from the Lord every day. We've got it pretty nice here in America. And sometimes we forget that we're only passing through. This life is not eternal. This life is, we're not going to be here forever. We talked about we have an appointment with death one day. And it might not be, almost 90 years for us. It may not be. And so it's important that we get our spiritual houses in order. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And when we do that, we are filled with hope for today. You know, we do need that today. There's a lot of terrible things going on in the world today, isn't it? I think the our access to events and news from around the world, don't know that it helps us so much sometimes. There's a lot of things that we can learn that we really can't do anything about. And so I'm not really sure if that helps us always, makes us aware, I suppose, helps us to count our blessings maybe, and and maybe be a bit more free in helping those who have needs. But we forget, and we get wrapped up and busy, and we forget the important things of life. The Bible doesn't give us lots and lots of details about heaven. It does give us a few, and I'd just like to share a few with you this afternoon. One of the things that death does many times is One of the things that sickness and pain does for us sometimes is helps us get us ready for death and the next life. The older folk among us can tell us, and I've got a lot of respect for our older people who are gracefully getting old in spite of some of the pains and aches and tough things that they're facing with their health. We have some tremendous examples in our congregation. I'm sure you know some as well. Folks who just have a testimony in spite of difficult things they're facing, in spite of pain they're suffering. I know when my father passed away, we were glad for him when he was able to. He had a lot of pain his last weeks. And to the Christian, especially in situations like that, death becomes a friend, an enabler to help someone move on to where pain and suffering is not known. A new life, a new body, perfect body. We can't hardly imagine those things, but they're going to be reality one day for us, as they are to Brother Sam today. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets, including the prophet Nahum, who we talked about earlier, sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It'll be a beautiful place. We can't hardly imagine. We have some nice scenery and landscaping here in Lancaster County. But I've never seen streets of gold. Gold so pure that you can see through it. I've never seen walls built out of precious gems. And I've never seen the Son of God in person. He's going to be the glory of it, the light of it. And it's going to go on forever and ever. so this afternoon. It's not a big crowd, but there are many of you here, and my encouragement is, if you don't have that hope of Jesus Christ in your heart, today is the day of salvation for you. Be ready. Get ready. The day of the Lord is coming. Jesus is coming for us, for his people, whether by death or as he comes a second time in the clouds. I'd like to read you a little portion of scripture here in 1 Thessalonians yet. I would not, this was the Apostle Paul speaking again to the church at Thessalonica, who I believe had lost some of their number to persecution, possibly. At least some of them had died. The Apostle Paul says to them, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so, in essence, what he was telling these people is that, look, there's a day coming when Jesus Christ is coming back for his people, for his church. And the dead in Christ, those out in the graveyard, going to rise first. And we're going to see this happening. And then we who remain are going to meet him, join them, and meet him in the air for eternity. What a tremendous motivation to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep our candles, our lights bright. Keep our lives, live our lives pure. To be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, faithful until he comes. May God bless you as a family real well with his grace, peace in the coming adjustments and days, coming days in their adjustments. We'll be praying for you. And if there's anything we can do for you, just feel free to let us know. God bless you real well.
I would first of all say amen to the preaching of God's word. I appreciated it. Very clear. Brother Jake reminded us of two waves, two places, and that they're going to be settled. And Dave expounded to us very clearly how to make sure that we get to the right place. Appreciated that. In concluding then, there's still a few things need to be done according to Sam's requests. Brother Sam and I had some common interests, one of which was an appreciation for our heritage. And included in that was an appreciation for the German language. And I remember over the years, times when I was in Sam's Sunday school class, and we would be reading a verse, and him or I might ask the question, what does that say in German? It was always interesting. And so I give you that verse that I read in the beginning here concerning Isaac, where it says he was old and full of days. And so what does that mean? And so I turn to the German and it says, avoir alt und lebe satt. And so I think it was for Sam. Life was coming to an end. And some time ago when I was visiting with him, I reminded him of something that he had done for me some years ago when my father died. And my father had a few verses that he often quoted in his testimony, etc. And after he died, I memorized those verses, and then I wanted to put them into English. Well, I didn't understand well enough, and Sam was one of those that I went to, and he suggested different words for this German phrase or word, and I always remembered that. So some time ago when I was visiting with Sam, and it was one of those days that he wasn't saying much. In fact, he had a bit of a spell while I was there. I quoted these verses to him, and his eyes lit up, and he gave me a joyous smile. So in that sense, I offer it to you. Mein Hirt ist der Herr, des bin ich so froh, denn niemand via erwärmt sich so. Es kann ja die Seelen, die Jesus regiert, kein Gutes je fehlen, der Herr ist mein Hirt. Weidet mein Herz auf blumiger Trift, stillt Hunger und Schmerz durch Öffnung der Schrift. Der mich im Stille zum Lebensquell führt, gibt Trostes der Fülle, der Herr ist mein Hirt. And like I said, I'll not forget his smile and his joyful eyes as he looked at me. It was also in that sense that some time ago in visiting, and this was before Susie died, Susie requested, and I think it came from Sam, but requested that I would read a German song at Sam's funeral. And so I will attempt to do that. I'm sure some of you will catch some mistakes here, but I will attempt to read it according to Sam's request. Welt hinweg, ich bin dein Miete. Ich will nach dem Himmel zu. Da wird sein der rechte Friede und die wahre Seelenruhe. Welt bei dir ist Krieg und Streit. Nichts denn lauter Eitelkeit. Zu dem Himmel alle Zeit. Friede, Ruhe und Seligkeit. You'll notice the last two phrases in each verses give us a contrast of this world and of that which is to come. Wann ich werde dahin kommen, werde ich aller Krankheit los, unter Traurigkeit entnommen, Ruhe sanft in Gottes Schoß. In der Welt ist Angst und Not, endlich gar der bittere Tod. Aber dort ist alle Zeit Friede, Freude und Seligkeit. Was ist hier der Erdenfreude? Nebel, Dampft und Herzeleid. Hier auf dieser Schmerzenheide findet sich Laster ausgefreit. Welt bei dir ist Krieg und Streit. Nix denn lauter Eitelkeit. In dem Himmel alle Zeit Friede, Ruhe und Seligkeit. Unaussprechliche Schöne singen. Gottes auserwählte Show. Heilig, heilig, heilig klinget in dem Himmel immer dort. Welt bei dir ist but ein Hohn. Und ein bitteren Jammerton. Aber dort ist alle Zeit Friede, Freude und Seligkeit. Nichts ist hier dann lauter Weinen. Keine Freude bleibet nie. Will uns gleich die Sonne scheinen, so verhemmt die Nacht das Licht. Welt bei dir ist Angst und Not, Sorgen und der bitteren Tod. In dem Himmel, alle Zeit, Friede, Freude und Seligkeit. Nun, es wird dann auch geschehen, dass ich auch in kürzer Zeit meinem Heiland werde sehen in der großen Herrlichkeit. Denn bei uns ist lauter Not, mich und Furcht zuletzt der Tod. Aber dort ist alle Zeit Friede, Freude und Seligkeit. O, wer nur dahin gelanget, wo jetzt in der schöne Chor in verdolten Kreuzen pranget und die Stimme schwingt empor. Dann die Welt hat Krieg und Streit. Aller Tun ist Eitelkeit. In dem Himmel, alle Zeit, Friede, Freude und Seligkeit. Zeit, wann wirst du doch anbrechen? Stunden, o wann schlagest dir, dass ich mich doch noch mag besprechen mit dem schönsten Vier und Vier. Weil du hast nur Sturm und Streit, lauter Qual und Traurigkeit. Aber dort ist alle Zeit Friede, Ruhe und Seligkeit. Jetzt will ich mich fertig machen, dass mein Tun vor dir besteht. Das, wann alles wird zu rachen, es heißt komm und nicht geh. Welt bei dir ist Angst, Geschrei, Sorge, Furcht und Heuchelei. In dem Himmel, alle Zeit, Friede, Ruhe und Seligkeit. And so we trust that Brother Sam has experienced this peace and rest and bliss and final salvation, and wish that to each one of you, as Brother Dave mentioned, if not ready, make ready. There was also an English poem given me. I'm looking for the sunrise. I'm not looking for the sunset. As the swift years come and go, I'm looking for the sunrise and the morning and the golden morning glow, where the light of heaven's glory will break forth upon my sight in the land that knows no sunset nor the darkness of the night. I'm not going down the pathway toward the setting of the sun, where the shadows ever deepen when the day at last is done. I am walking up the hillside where the sunshine lights the way to the glory of the sunrise of God's never-ending day. I'm not going down, but upward, and the path is never dim, for the day grows ever brighter as I journey on with him. So my eyes are on the hilltops, waiting for the sun to rise, waiting for the invitation to the home beyond the skies. And it says author unknown, but it must have been something that Sam had and appreciated. There is then also the reading of the obituary. Samuel S. Lapp, 89 years, 3 months, 28 days, of Ridge Road, Gordonville, Pennsylvania, peacefully entered into eternal rest on July the 7th, 2022. He was the husband of the late Susie Byler Lapp. They were married on November 25th, 1954. Born in Lancaster, he was the son of the late Stephen and Melinda Lapp. He was a member of the Summit View Christian Fellowship, New Holland, Pennsylvania. He was a retired farmer. And of course, we're here together today because Brother Sam has passed on. He became alt and levesat, and I think he was glad to go. There's also a thanks here from the family. The family wishes to express our sincere appreciation for all the help, sharing, and support from the neighbors, churches, caregivers, and campuses in allowing us to care for Samuel at home as he requested. May God bless you and richly reward you. And God bless you as a family and the caregivers and all those who were involved. Like I said in the beginning, church and family and friends become especially important and dear at times like this. I was asked to also announce that those not going to the burial, there is a meal provided, and you can go downstairs and share in that right after the final viewing. I believe there will be a final viewing here before we head out to the graveyard. And also, in response to a request from Brother Sam, I would invite you to stand. And just pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Finally now, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You may be seated.